thinking some today about some of the tragedies that I have recently heard about. There was over in my hometown a couple weeks ago, there was a couple acquaintances of mine that were coming back from work about 2 o'clock in the morning, I understood. And there was 3 vehicles coming along, and a gigantic tree broke. It broke. They said it wasn't in a storm, wasn't storming at the time, but the tree broke and fell and hit right down across those two men coming back from work. Worked in the coal mines. One of them had worked in the coal mines. I think he was about 58 years old. He had worked in the coal mine most all his life. And dangers of the coal mine, all that, you'd think could worry about that kind of a thing. And he was on his way home. And a tree fell down across that car and killed both of these men instantly. You know, those things are hard sometimes to deal with. That especially was hard. I talked to some friends of mine over there, and they told me that the family was having an especially hard time with it. People was having a hard time with it because there's 3 cars going down the highway. And the tree fell right on top of them as they were moving. And fell down and crushed them. And one said to me, being puzzled, the woman said, "It just seems divine somehow." She wasn't even a person that generally thought that way. But there was nothing so odd about it. A tragedy. A tragedy had happened. And I think of another story that I heard about the same time of a 10-year-old girl that wrecked her bicycle. And she wrecked and something punctured her when she fell and punctured her. And she died. Well, I have children, so I thought about how quickly and tragically life can happen to us in just an instant like that. And back in the spring, there was a story. It was at the time of the state basketball, high school basketball tournaments in West Virginia. And there was a young girl that was a cheerleader. And she was at the state tournament. Her team had went to the state tournament, and she was there cheerleading. And while she was there, getting ready for the game, her family was on their way there. Mom, dad, brothers, sisters, and I think an aunt, an uncle, or cousin, something, all in one car coming. And there was a tragic accident, and they were all killed. All of her family was killed on their way to that ball, and she's at the ball game, and somebody's got to go in and tell her in this exciting day of her life, go in and tell her that your family's all gone. Now think of the tragedies that happens in life. And yet with all of that, and we could probably stay here tonight and just mention over and over tragedies that people's had to face in life. But folks, that's only for here. It's a part of a world that we live in, a fallen world. It's a part of a world that none of us are going to live long in. To some degree, we're all going to head out of here one way or the other. And I'm thinking tonight about the awful tragedy of the lost soul. To lose your soul. Not for a moment. Not to be redeemed in the future sometime. But to forever be lost. What a tragedy it will be. To stand before the great judge and Him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me, ye cursed of my Father. Depart from me, all ye that wouldn't accept the way of truth, the way of right." What a tragedy it will be to come down for a human soul, not to be lost for a few years or be cut short in life or to face something of this life, but to face forever lost. You know, man gets a thrill sometimes out of or an excitement out of scaring himself. There has been many books written, been many movies made. There's haunted houses and those kind of things to give people some kind of a thrill over fear, to scare himself just for a little while. Those kind of stories take in some of the hideous things. You know what I'm saying? There's been stories of things invading your body and taking you over. There's stories of exorcism. Exorcist was a movie that they made one time that talked about the demonic, the satanic, that invaded a person, took over a person, and they made a movie and it scared and fear people to shock themselves for a little while, for a little bit of excitement. And there's been things about the dead coming back, but being dead, but yet coming back, zombies and those kind of things that men have thrilled themselves with. But you know, there is nothing more horrible tonight than the reality of being lost. I don't think man has ever really captured in all of his wildest imaginations about how he could scare himself. I don't think he's ever come to the real idea of how bad it's going to be lost. And being lost is not lost for a moment. It's lost forever and ever. And I've heard people say, I don't mind going to hell. It's where all my friends are going. Folks, I'm going to tell you there's something wrong with that statement. You're not going to have a group of friends there to get around and chat with. Amen. The idea of God being out of the place will say to us that there will be hatred there, a gnashing of teeth. Yes. There will be a despising of one another. You won't have friends there. No one would dare be your friend there. No one would want to be your friend there. And you won't want to be anybody's friend either. Because there'll be the absence of something that would make that possible. And it's going to be a terrible and awesome place for the soul, with all the ugliness and hatefulness of all sin and guilt upon you forever and ever. As Scripture says, it's where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. The soul doesn't die. It's in a continual state of torment forever and ever. Who could ever come up with such a plan? Here in this world, they come up with all kinds of things to make you scared for a moment, to make you fear for just a while, that you can come away from a theater or a book or something and your heart beats for a little bit and you say, "Woo, that was exciting." That's not what this is. This is going to be the reality of being lost forever. Lord, help us tonight. What side are you on? There's two sides. We've heard a little exhortation about what it must be. I don't know. Men have wondered. People have written songs about it. And we've wondered, and poems been written, and people have testified, and people have dreamed dreams, and people have wondered what the splendor of heaven must be like. I can't really answer other than what some scriptural points of it is, but I'm going to tell you what it is to me. The earnest that I get is when the presence of the... I don't know how to describe it in any natural terms, but I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to have the Lord... nothing else matters. There is no trial too big when the Lord comes that it doesn't overshadow it. There is something about God Himself that is, if you will, heavenly to us. Oh, what side are you on tonight? My question is to say it this way, there's a battle. Without going into the Scriptures, many, many, many Scriptures, we recognize that there is a warfare going on. There's a battle being fought. And it's being fought for the souls of men. You're in a battle. And that battle has to do with your soul. And the devil is bidding high. And he's fighting hard. And he's coming up with a lot of things. A lot of things is coming up to entice you into his side. To get you to war on his side of the fight. Whose side are you on? What side are you on tonight? Are you on the Lord's side? Oh, it's going to be awful to be on the wrong side. It's going to be terrible to come down to the end of it and find out that I'm on the wrong side of this. I've been waging the war, but I've been waging it on the wrong side. I'm not on the Lord's side in the battles. You know, I believe that a crowd like this, I'd be willing to say there's no atheist here tonight. Well, why would you come? Well, I'd like to speak to all the atheists tonight. I don't think there's any here. But you know, there's a lot of people that believe in God. Believe God. Believe that there is a God. Believe in the God. Believe in His capable God. Believe in an almighty God that don't live for God. It's more than possible. It is very probable in many cases that I can say there is a God. But He isn't my personal God. And I want to tell you tonight, whether you want to admit it or not, or whether it be something you'd want to do, in this warfare, you're a soldier. It just depends on what side you're fighting on. Because you're given some battle to something. I'd like to start tonight with a scripture in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Just want to pick up a couple verses. It says in the 31st verse, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divided his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left." And so, we're still getting a picture here of the idea of all nations being gathered together, all people being gathered together, and the Lord is separating them out. Where are you? Where are you tonight? Can you say, I'm in the right hand. I'm a sheep. I'm one of the sheep. I'm one of the faithful. I'm one of the gives my heart to the Lord. I'm one that God is important to me. I seek after. I pursue after. I press the battle for it. I'm reaching for it. This is my hope. My desire is to be with God. Or can it be saved? On the other side, what is it that makes somebody a goat? Hitler was a goat. Saddam Hussein was a goat. Mass murderers are goats. Perverts of all kind are goats. Abusers of themselves are goats. Idolaters are goats. Adultery's goats. Unbelievers are goats. Indifferent are goats. Neglectors are goats. People that believe that there is a God but don't pursue Him are goats. Lord, help us. It don't take that much to be one. Does it? There's all kinds of things listed in the idea of this. Yeah, there's murderers. There's the profane, the ridiculous. There's also just the unfaithful. There's those that allow themselves to be deceived. There's those that get caught up in this world and get entangled in this world and give more time to the world than they do to God. They're goats. There's those, if you read this scripture, he defines it down really tight because it goes on and says, read it. He said, when you saw me in prison, you come visit me. When you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you saw me thirsty, you gave me. Well, when did we see that? This is the sheep. When did we see that? When we've done it you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. You've done it also to me. Good servant. Well done. Then he says to the other ones on the left hand, you didn't feed me. You didn't come visit me in prison. You didn't give me water to drink. You didn't. Well, when did we see you like that, naked and desolate? When did we see you? When you didn't do it to the least of these, my brother. You know, that's far reaching. That's far reaching. It's more, folks. It's more than the actual literal idea of doing it. It goes far beyond that. What are you giving your energy to? What are you giving your life to? What side are you on? There's a war going on and for the hearts of people. What are you giving it to? Lord, help us. Are you, we'll say, aiding and abetting the enemy? You know what I'm saying? Back during World War II, when France was invaded, France had been successful in World War I against the Germans. So World War II comes around, and the war, they go to war, and for a while they didn't fight and all. And the French people had spent years building the Maginot Line. That was to be the great barrier between France and Germany. And it was supposed to be these great fortifications and all this. Well, they had a little problem. When they come up to the borders of Belgium, they had to scratch their head. Do we take the wall all the way between the border of Belgium and France too? But Belgium is an ally. Now, if you make that up through there, you're basically saying you're lefty young. So they got to that point and they scratched their head and said, what are we going to do now? Because it doesn't do much good to have all this down here and leave this open. But if we go on, we're basically telling them they're on their own. So they're there and they never built it any farther. Well, when the war came, the Germans, of course, they go through the Ardennes and through the forest of Belgium and they come in. And anyway, when the actual battle started, France didn't last very long. A couple of weeks, 3 weeks, and France is conquered. The Nazis are now in Paris. Hitler comes to Paris and comes in and signs it all. Well, there was something that happened. So even one of the great war heroes of World War I, Marshal Pétain, he became the Vichy French leader. Because he looked and said, they're too powerful. We're never going to win against them. So we need to just give in. We need to just make a peace with them. Let's save a lot of battles, save a lot of lives, and their life ain't that bad. So we'll just give in to them. But there was a lot of Frenchmen that wouldn't do it. There was a lot of Frenchmen said, no, France is ours. And we'll fight for it as long as... And many of them went underground. Many of them left the country to build armies. Many of them... They said, no, we will never quit fighting for France. It's ours. We're going to fight for it. But there was a lot of other ones that just resigned themselves because it seemed stronger. The power was too strong against them. And they become known as collaborators. They aided the enemy in what they tried to do because they said they're too strong. They're too strong for us to do anything about. Folks, listen. We got a lot coming on us. Honestly, we all know it. Anybody that's got an eye is going to say, we got some stuff coming on us. Well, we can see the dark clouds coming. We know there's something coming. I want to tell you something. It's no time to panic. It's no time to give up on faith. It's no time to say we're not big enough to do it. We'll have to give in here. We'll have to give in there. No. This is a time to square your shoulders up and say, now's the time to see whether this thing works the way it's supposed to work or not. Lord, give us grace and power and strength to stand up for the things we're supposed to stand up for. What happened in this scenario was they seemed invincible. But they wasn't invincible. After the United States got into the war, there become other power involved. And now the tide, it wasn't long before the tide of the war began to change. Drastically change. And in a time, the Germans started being driven back and the Italians were driven back. And now there come a time that France has now become liberated. And now they started driving them off. And now, the ones that collaborated and said the power is too strong, they want to go ahead and say, I'm going to turn. I'm going to change back. But the ones that fought all the time said, You wanted to be German? You wanted to collaborate? You get what they got. Folks, listen. No matter how dark it is, God's going to win. No matter what it looks like, God's going to win. And when this says is when He comes in His glory, there's going to be no time to say, you know, I imagine a lot of people is going to say, oops. I was wrong when I said there wasn't nothing to this religion thing. Oops. I was wrong when I didn't live the way I should. Oops. I was wrong to persecute God's people the way I did. Oops. I think I'll change my mind. Now the Lord split the cloud. Now the Lord's coming. Now things are changing. And they're going to say, oops. I want to change my... Folks, listen. No time for changing. No time for changing your mind at that point. Lord help you and I. There's nothing more tragic than to lose your soul. To be found on the wrong side of this battle, those, do you imagine the feeling of those that were left there in France, that had fought all the way through those dark hours, the dark times when it didn't look like possible. They couldn't make no headway. Many of them was getting killed. It looked dark. It didn't look like they could ever do it. But there come a time there was a crack of light started shining in there too. And then the hope they had, we're going to be able to defeat this enemy. We're going to drive them back. We're going to win this thing. You know, that's the way the Lord will give it to us too. There's no time to turn and start saying, the world's got a point. We need to change our mind about this or this. I'm going to tell you how foolish I am. I'm foolish enough still to believe that God created the world in 6 days. The world looks at you and say, are you serious? You really think, yes. God said He did it. I believe He done it in 6 literal days. He's God enough to do it. He said He done it. I believe that He done it. And I'm going to hold on to that faith that God done what He said He's going to do. And you know that there is a scoffing that if you was to say, I believe that Jesus is going to return. And I believe He's going to return just the way He said He was going to return. Jesus is going to come back one of these days. You know, you'd be laughed at for that. I mean, honestly, you can be laughed at that. You believe Jesus is coming back? Jesus said He's coming back. I still believe that Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back the way He said He's going to come back. And He's going to come back when the world thinketh not. He's going to come back in a time. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And He's going to come back. And I'm going to tell you, this world's ripening for it. We're getting closer and closer. It's ripening for it. I dare make such a prediction that the Scripture didn't make. But there's a ripening. There's something coming. It will be tragic, folks. Listen, I want it to be stuck into our minds. It'll be tragic to be found on the wrong side of this thing. When the Lord comes, it's going to be found. It's going to be awful to be found. It's going to be awful to lose your life and be found on the wrong side of this. Are you aiding the enemy tonight? You know what I mean. There's things that we can do. You know, I go across the world, especially Oklahoma, through that area. There's a lot of casinos. There's big billboards. Now, I usually comment about them a lot of times we go by them. Look how much fun those people are having. Because there's billboards and there's always smiling, young, nice looking people there with a big handful of money spread out. Everybody wins. Hey, you want some easy money? Or what? The casinos are just waiting to give it to you. It's easy to win. Everybody wins. No, everybody don't win. You know, if you really get down to the bottom of that, there is no good thing about that. There's nothing wholesome and right about that. There's no biblical principles that make life better in that kind of living. There's a whole lot of principles that make it worse. God intends us with our industry and our work to better ourselves and with His blessings better ourselves. Not with that kind of life. But yet there are all the way across there. There's these casinos that do all those kind of things. I'll say this. Do you aid the enemy by buying a lottery ticket? It's pretty exciting when it... Now, it is. I listen to the news. Almost $500 million. You know what that is? That's $500 million. And if you get one ticket with the right numbers on it, you can be a $500 million, a $500 million. Wow! I mean, you think about that's a lot of money. No doubt that would be tempting, right? Wouldn't that be tempting? What would you do tonight with $500 million? No, you could do a lot of things with $500 million. But I'm going to tell you, you're aiding the enemy if you do it. You're giving credence through your life, your spark, what God gave you to give to the world. You're giving it to the enemy by giving him that. You're saying it's okay to be that. Will the Lord, is that okay? Is that okay? I remember after I got saved, made my stands. Oh, by the way, I've never bought a lottery ticket. It wasn't in our area before I got saved. And I'm pretty tight, too, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't want to lose my dollar, you know? But I went to a mechanic one time and had the mechanic work done at the shop. And one of the things they did for getting work there, as an incentive for you to come back, they gave me a lottery ticket. And I got the lottery ticket and I went out there and I was in the car and I was thinking, I'll do the lottery ticket. But now, technically, it's not gambling because I risk no money. That's not gambling. It was simply a gift. You couldn't say I gambled. I risk nothing on that. That's not gambling. So I have a ticket, and I'm thinking, could be a winner. It could be. To this day, I still get a thrill out of the knowledge. I hope it was. I hope it was a $100,000 winner. I'll never know. Because I refuse to scratch it. Because if I scratched it, then it'd be like, well, it's not a winner, so you can throw it away and there's no glory to that. So I assumed that it was a winner. And I said, I don't approve. When they started out with that, I remember saying, they're making a mistake for this sake to do that. They will hurt people by doing that. There will be people that will give their paychecks to that kind of stuff. They will give it up. Their families will suffer. They'll hurt. They'll be addicted. It happens all the time, and it happens up there. And I said, I refuse to be a part of any such thing. I want a clearness in this, in my heart, in my life. I don't want to have to answer to the Lord for it. I want to be on the right side of this thing. So I don't say, no, I give that up. Now I know a guy, and this is the way it works. He always won. He always won. Every time he went to play the lottery, he always come back, I won. He'd say, tell me how much money he won. And it was hard for me to believe that every time he did that, he won. Well, he did. This is the way he won. He takes the $20 and he buys 20 tickets. And out of those 20 tickets, there's 5 winners. And so in that 5 winners, he gets $5. So he won $5. So he takes in that $5 and returns it back. And out of that $5, he wins $2 more. And now he's up $7. And he plays it again and gets $1. Now he's up $8. And he plays it again and loses it. And he won $8 today. No, he didn't. He lost $20. With that kind of a math, folks, everybody's a winner. That's what they're showing you. Sunshine and everybody's a winner here. Come and play. We'll make sure you win. Do something. Don't aid the enemy, folks. Don't give to what he's trying to do. Do you realize when you go and pay, you pay money and give your money for CDs of this world, listening, music of this world, and all of its hideous stuff. When you pay for that, you're aiding the enemy. You're giving aid. You're saying, this is okay. This is honest. We give to it. We're supporting it. What do you think supports it? What do you think? How do they get money to do all this? Your money. God's money is going to it to give it to it. It won't be held blameless. You go and buy or rent or get these movies that Hollywood's making and giving them. Don't you know that you're aiding the enemy in what he's trying to do? Well, it's just a movie. I don't really approve of it. There's some hard language in the Bible for those kind of things. Lord, help us not to give comfort and aid to the enemy. We're in a battle for our souls. And you know we're going to be separated out one of these days according to what we do with this life. And so what if I just indifferently spend the money that the Lord allows me in this life to do good and to help and to fight the cause of God with, to help with the cause of God? We're all got a certain amount of influence in our life. You're influencing your children, your grandchildren, the neighbors, the people around you. You influence the people at the walk, whether you know it or not, what you're buying, where you reach across the counter, all of them. You're influencing everybody. You're giving something, saying, this is acceptable, this is acceptable, this is right to stand and do those kind of things. Lord, help us. We're fighting a battle. We should take the energy and strength that we have to glorify the Lord with. To give glory and honor to the Lord. Give our energy to wholesome things and right things. Sing the songs. Sure, there are songs that's worth singing. But sing the ones that's worth singing. Don't pay what the Lord gives you for the filth of this world. To entertain ourselves in the things of the world. Over in Romans 1, it says it this way. Oh, listen to this. And what a list of things. It says in the 21st verse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Now I want to say something right here. It says, because that when they knew God, these people weren't just atheist people that never had any. There's something religious here. There's something of understanding here. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, and burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. To have pleasure of them that do them. Lord, have mercy. You might say, I never do something like that. I'd never let that in. And many multitudes, the multitudes of this nation, can't help but sit at the altars of their idols and watch it flood the media and sit in accepted silence. And accept these things coming right to them and never dare to shut it off. Do you know they're not going to be able to say when He comes, oops, I didn't really mean to say. Do you know how those things work? It's called ratings. When you sit and watch something across the waves, there's a count goes on, somewhat. An estimated count of how many people. And what pays the programming is how many people is watching it for advertising. That's the way it works. So when you lend yourself to it, you become a participant of a greater force that pays for the whole thing. Well, I'm not guilty of doing it. I wouldn't do that. Oh, would you? Would you not? We happen to live in a country. I don't know how to say much more than this, but we happen to live in a country where we have a voice in who says what through elections. Pretty awesome thing that you have the right to go vote for somebody honestly in the fear of God. You ought to take it serious. You ought to look to see and pay very much attention to what you may be given your authority to, your influence to say this is somebody that I'd want in there. Better listen to what they're saying. You better listen to where they're at. I come to some point that I may not do anything. But pray, I'm commanded to pray. I'm not commanded to vote, but I'm commanded to pray. Voting something that I'll do when it's right. It may come to a point that I'll say, nope, not me. I'm not giving any of you my influence. I'm going to give it to where I'm going to give it. And it ain't this. Lord help us. It's that important to us. To give our credibility. Have you ever been in some place that the aura of the place was just, you could feel the evil of the... I've been in those kind of places. I went into places before, whether eating establishments or whatever they were, and it have a certain music in a certain place that you feel. You don't feel the... You don't feel right. You feel that? What is that? It's the influence of those people and those artists and all that coming, and you feel it. You want to add your spark to that? You want to make that just a little stronger? You want to go in there and tap your foot to it and add your... It'll be a little brighter because you're there. It'll be a little stronger because you're there being a participant of it. No, Lord help us. Let's put the cold blanket on that one. Let's do whatever we have to. Say no to that. Think of another scripture we want to look at. It's over in 1 Kings, I think. 1 Kings, 18th chapter. Very familiar passage of Scripture. This is where that Elijah came to do battle. Elijah comes to... I believe that's the Scripture I want. Where he's his test with Baal. I believe there was several hundred of these people anyway. He's going to do a little war here. And what it all was about was for the hearts of people. The battle. The battle between God and the enemy. You know, God can destroy the enemy. But that's not what the battle's over. The battle is over the affections of the hearts of men. And you have a right. You have a creative right to say no to God. Yes to right, yes to wrong. You have a creative right of will to be able to choose what you want to. And that's what the battle's over. To convince, to work with, to inspire, to convince people of the way they ought to go. I wish the whole world would turn to God, we'd have a wonderful place to live. It'd be better all the way around. It wouldn't be so much wickedness going on, but people don't. But this is what the battle was about. And this is the way that the Lord... I'll start in the 19th, read down to it. The 19th verse. It says, "Now therefore send and gather me all Israel unto the Mount of Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" See? They had two opinions. They believed God. They had a heritage. It was taught to them. They grew up to it. They had heard it all their lives. It's hard to go against that. And they heard it all their life. And they had that opinion that God was to be feared. They feared God for what He could do. They knew the stories. They believed what God had done in the past. And they believed that. But also in the natural life, folks, it was a hard decision. Because they're coming up against the powers that are there. Ahab and Jezebel. Now, are you going to say to the king and the queen, I'm not worshiping your gods. You going to say to the queen that? She's a pretty ruthless woman. No, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to be quiet about it. Well, who do you think we ought to worship? I'm not going there. Folks, you lose your soul that way. You'll lose your soul that way. How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. See? He's talking to them. Got them all together. Come on. If the Lord's God, let's follow Him. Then why not? If the Lord is God tonight, folks, we don't have no need to fear the Jezebels of this world. Oh, there's some power in there. What are we going to do in time to come? Are we going to have the strength that the martyrs had if we need to have it? I'm not predicting it. But there are people could come through that door with weapons. Are we going to be able to say, don't matter what you do with those weapons, the Scriptures already commanded me to fear not Him that's able to kill, destroy this body. Why should I fear Him? I'm going to die anyway. Why should I fear that? But to fear Him's able to destroy both body and soul. In hell, that's the one that I got to fear. But they speak not a word. Are we going to speak not a word? Are we not going to stand up for it? Will there come a time that I can't use the Roman Scripture and read it from a pulpit like this? Or will I have to bow down to that? Do I have to rip those pages out of my Bible? Is that time going to come? What are we going to do with it? You know, it might be some hard things to stand up for some of this good old book. Lord, help us. You know, it'd be a good time for us to reconsider ourselves tonight. Am I really a soldier for the Lord? Am I on His side? Am I really in this battle? Am I really fighting it the way I ought to fight it? I can pray. I can labor. I can work wherever you're at. You don't get too far down that you can't be a soldier of the Lord. He's got something for you to do. I can stand up. If nothing else, I can stand up and say, I'm a part. I'm in with everybody else. Somehow I think it's going to come to those kind of things. We're going to need each other to support one another. No time for trivial fightings and scrap. The Lord, help us at the time we're in. Help us to stand up. Help us to stand up. Square up to this. No, I'm not ready to give in to this yet. No, I'm going to stay right here. They spake to him not a word. What a strange comment. Well, I know what they was thinking. If we say, well, we're going to follow Baal, Jehovah's been an awesome God. I mean, He's done some things in our history. What are you and I going to say? When we look back through the heritage of the people that we lived, and not only the heritage, but of what God did for our own lives, what are we going to testify to? Lord, help us. What are we going to testify to of God? When we say there's nothing to it now? Oh, Lord, help us. I know what they was thinking. If we said we're going to worship Baal, we're going to have to suffer the wrath of Jehovah. They're not willing to do that. But if we say God, the Lord, if we're going to follow the Lord, then Jezebel is going to chop us in pieces. Boy, we're in a rock and a hard place, ain't we? Folks, listen. We're going to be between a rock and a hard place in life sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord's going to help. The Lord's going to come and the Lord's going to deliver and the Lord's going to stand by. He's going to be God to us. And He's going to be our helper. There's always two opinions. I think it's a good time for me to say, Lord, help me. I don't want to be on the wrong side of this thing. I don't want this to come down to the end. And the Lord say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. This is not. I don't have that much of a life here. I want that eternal life. Lord, help me to be true and faithful. And you know the story. The Lord had great mercy on them in that He was willing to show them who He was. Folks, that's what we need the Lord to do for us too when we get in those places. Lord, show us who You are. Help us to see. Over, I want to look at one more scripture. Over in 23rd chapter of Luke. Oh, let's see. Luke 23. Let's see. 23 and 39. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, if Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us. If you'll remember, when Jesus was crucified, there was two thieves that was crucified on each side of Him. I think that's interesting, because there was one on the left hand and one on the right. Two men. They both were malefactors. They were both thieves, cheats, crooks, murderers, that had come to this day, and they didn't get set free. They get to suffer the pains of the agony of crucifixion. And one of them hanging there begins to rail on Jesus. It says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? What are you doing that for? Why are you railing on Him like that? You don't fear God? Well, what's He talking about? Surely He was talking about more than His possibility of living here on this earth. Well, because I was dripping out. It was running out. Do you not fear God? Have you no thoughts for you're still railing? You're hanging on the cross. You're not going to live much longer. If anything should soften somebody, Lord help us. What is the Lord sent in our lives to soften us towards His salvation? But there's a man that is in the same, in this predicament, and there's no softness coming. And the one, no doubt, was softened. He looks at the eternal side of his life and says, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I squandered my life here, but I'm going to lose it for eternity. I've missed out on this. Why are you railing? Doesn't God, the fear of God, do something for you? I think it's been set there for us as an emblem. Right there, salvation. What more depicts the plan of salvation than Jesus on the cross? That's what it was. That's where He got it. That's how He won it. Right there on the cross. And beside of Him was two opinions. Well, right there was two opinions. Forever for us to look at. Right here it is. Two opinions. One feared God. The other had no fear of God. One railed on Him and the other was saying no. And the two opinions began to be made. You know, folks, we'll have the choice. You've got a choice tonight. You got a choice. You can serve God or you can serve His enemy. But you're going to serve one or the other. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve the enemy. By default, not serving God, you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. You're telling the world that God ain't worth living for. You're telling all that you go around that God ain't worth living for. Because you're giving your life to something else. It's an obvious. And the things of the devil grow stronger. Because that's the way he gets stronger. through the power and influence of the people that he works with, the thing comes stronger. Look at the world that we're living in now and how strong the things are getting more and more because more and more people are giving their attention, more than their attention. I'm willing to accept. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger. That's the way it works. And we indeed, justly, I'm going to tell you, get down, folks, get down with it. Get down to it. Honestly, get down to it. Our prayer ought to always be, Lord, help me see myself. Make me better. Run into an incident. I was talking to my sister about it. I find it's a strange little quirk. And so I'll just give it to you too. Maybe I'll ask you the same question I asked her. I said, I'm curious about this. Do you ever maybe ask your husband to do something? And he says, I'm busy. Wait a minute. Or just a minute. And you run and do it just as fast as you can. And she's like, yeah, I will. And I said, why are we like that? Anybody else ever, somebody that you love and appreciate, but you want to show them something. You didn't jump and run. So you run just as fast as you can when you normally would, and fast and do it so that you can make them feel bad about not helping you. What is all that? Now, I know I'm not the only one that's sitting here that knows what I'm talking about. And I want to know why that we can go on with our lives like that and never correct those kind of things in our life when the Lord's there to help us to correct things that isn't right about our life. Do you know what I'm saying? I was dealing with that kind of an issue and I asked the Lord, Lord, what is that? And He said, it's a lack of mercy. Right, you don't give them time. You don't want to give them time to be able to do it. Mercy would give the time. Give them time to repent if they need to repent. Give them time. But being unmerciful won't. Oh, Lord, help us. I only brought that illustration out. It's one of hundreds that we have as humans in our lives. But the Lord wants to take care of those things that makes us dysfunctional to one another. Lord, help us. We should always pray, Lord, help me to see myself that I can be like You, because I don't think those things are like the Lord. I don't want to give the enemy any room for my life. And He says, this guy on the cross says, and we justly. Don't throw off on the guys that hung us up here. We deserve being hung up here. Okay? That's meeting it right where it's at. Lord, I'm a sinner. That's what He said. They was admitting His condition. Lord, help us tonight. Admit your condition. Admit the place that you're at. I'm stubborn. Gotta have my way. I've got... You know what? That's all giving a spark to something else. But the other answered and rebuked him, does thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, what a simple plan the Lord had. A man says, in so many words, did he not say, I'm a sinner and deserve what I've got? And then he turns to the Lord and says, Lord, have mercy on me and remember me. Do you know salvation is that easy? Yes. We didn't complicate it with a lot of big words, but it's that easy. Just come to the Lord. You're fighting the battle on the wrong side. It's that easy. It's as easy as coming and saying, Lord, I've been doing it wrong. I've been doing things that's helping the devil out. I don't want to meet the judge of all, a holy judge that way. I want to meet You in peace. I want to come and say, Lord, I've been doing this. Would You have mercy on me? That's what he said. And this was the Lord's response. And Jesus said unto them, to him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Do you believe that man was blessed? I think those words will suffice to say it's enough. It will cover you. And right there, with an obvious, Lord help us, right there obviously was two men. Same men. Same men. Thieves. Same position. Men. With opinions. With choices. One chose to be white. Only God can answer. One chose to go into eternity as that dirty sinner he was. And never would admit it or repent of it. But kept bitterness in his heart and went on and lived for the devil and added to the devil's world. And went on into eternity that way. But the other one said at that last moment, I've had enough of that. Lord, have mercy on me. And the decision right there. In these kind of meetings, it is set, I believe, of the Lord to show that in a type of that image. Jesus is here tonight. The cross, He's here. He's made the sacrifice. And now there is pulls. There is the two pulls. There is one pulling to say, give your heart to me. Live for me and be on the right side of this. And when the end comes, I'll say, well done. I'll be with you to the end. Even in the world, I'll support you. I'll give you grace and bless you. And the other side is saying, don't do that tonight. It's going to cost you more than you'll want to pay. Why, you won't be that old fuddy-duddies in them old church, and you have to do this, you have to do that. I like what Brother Ed said. It was so true in my life. They said the other night when people get out looking at it and say, well, old religion, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you do it. You got the cart before the horse. You get saved in every one of those things you want to do. He changes your heart to want to do it. That's what He's saying for you to do. Come and get a heart change. So you don't want to do those kind of things anymore. And He'll give you power over those temptations. I think it's valid that somebody might be less than financially set and would like to have money enough to be financially set. But God will give you grace to put the not go to the lottery tickets to do it, but to look to the Lord. And in our endeavors and in our pursuit and in our industry, God will bless us and make us better off and take care of those things as we need it. I think the psalmist said, I neither give me riches or poverty, but that which is convenient for me. Lord, suit my life with what I need to go to heaven with. Give me exactly what I need in this financial world, all this world around me. Give me exactly what I need, because I'd rather make heaven my home than to have all this world's goods. Because if you had it all, you'd shortly give it up. And you'd give it to somebody you wouldn't know whether he was wise or a fool. And you'd give it up all the same. And you can't keep it when you go anyway. So Lord, help us tonight. Make that wise choice. And be on the right side of this fight. They're the right side. Because the Lord's going to win it. You pray for me.